Psalm chapter 13, if you're there, say, I'm there. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. If you're hungry, say, let's eat.
Let's eat.
Let's eat. Let's eat. I'm excited about this psalm because maybe if you know these psalms or you're familiar with Psalm 13, you might be scratching your head like, really, this psalm? I've never heard a sermon preached on it. I've visited it several times over the years, but it's spoken to me recently in this season, and I just thought, you know what, I want to lean into it, I want to give some attention to it, and I hope that it would help somebody here today as well. So we're going to read all six verses, all right? And let's get a little bit better here today. Father, I pray now as we open your word and eat from your word, that you would speak clearly to us today, those in this gym and those online, and those who may watch this in the future. Open our hearts and minds to understand your word and see Jesus clearly. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to read with me off the screen or out of your Bibles. Verse 1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I've prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken. Come on, with a little bit of passion, read verses 5 and 6 with me. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. This is the word of the Lord here today. Psalm 13, it really reminds me of a quote that I once heard from a pastor named Craig Rochelle out of Life Church in Oklahoma. He says it like this: faith is a journey, not a destination, right? Faith is not just a checkbox on a card that you said, oh yeah, I did that back in the day. In fact, biblical faith is a journey. One of the reasons why I love the name walk for our church is because it implies a next step, amen? Following Jesus one step at a time. We're not just sprinting to a destination. We're not just talking about something we did in the past. No, it's a everyday thing, amen? And it's a journey. And can I just tell you today, sometimes along this journey of faith, there's hard seasons. David was in a challenging season when he wrote Psalm 13. Some would say maybe he was wrestling with some depression. Some would say he was in his head. Some would say he was struggling with voices around him and fear of the future or discontentment with what was. Regardless, we get an insight into his journal, into his song catalog, inspired by God himself. And we find Psalm 13 here today. How long, O Lord? David asks four different how long moments in the first two verses. Kind of reminds me of something that my family and I did just in the past couple weeks. Sometimes Nina and I, we love to just take a day and get out of Vegas. We'll just do a day trip somewhere. And we just decided, you know what, let's go to St. George just for the day. And we loaded everybody up in the car, which is a whole process. Come on, right? We got our snacks. We got everybody dialed in. We did a roll call list. Everybody was present. And then we started out and we got on the highway. And kind of in typical Vegas fashion, out of nowhere, it went from blue sky to like gloom in a matter of seconds. And then you heard like a boom, like a thunder. And then it was just downpour rain. And for whatever reason, on the highway there, it just got backed up. Before we were even out of Vegas, we were stuck in some of that back-to-back traffic. As you can imagine, from one of my boys said, hey, Dad, how long until we get there? And I said, we still in Vegas. We just kind of got on here. It's like, oh, all right. And not 2 minutes later, another, hey, Dad, hey, are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. How long until we get there? Shortly after that, hey, Mom, how long until we can stop at the gas station? Come on, right? Can we get some gummies or something in this car? Right. What's my point? Sometimes you're in a how long season, and you're getting a little bit antsy and you're a little bit anxious and you're asking God, I know I'm on the journey. I know you're taking me somewhere. I know you're good, but how long are we going to be in this traffic in life? How long am I going to feel stuck right here in the same position? Am I talking to anybody here today? Anybody just felt like you just had to, if you were really honest with the Lord and not faking it, you might pick up your journal and you might say, hey, God, oh Lord, how long? David starts in Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, oh Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? I can't see you, Lord, in this season. The reality is, the answer to David's first question of, will you forget me forever? The answer is no. The good news that I want to share with each of us here today and those online is that the Lord doesn't forget us. It doesn't mean that you won't go through seasons where you might feel forgotten. David is still acknowledging God as Lord. In his prayer, he's saying, God, I feel like you forgot me. I love what God says in Isaiah chapter 49. I feel like it's a good answer to David's question here, starting in verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Verse 15, God replies, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will never forget you. Amen. What does God do here? God uses a radical example to illustrate his love for us. He says, hey, think about a nursing mother. And for me, this is fresh because for the past few weeks, like some of you awesome people have said, yo, Hayden, has it been crazy? Have you been sleeping much? Like, what you've been on with the baby? And I look for my moments to be on. But can I just tell you, my wife is an MVP. And she keeps that little baby right here. And they have such a dynamic, close relationship. The thing that I'm realizing is the wild thought of, could a nursing mom in that moment forget about their own child? God says, check this out. Even if that could happen and did happen, I won't. God goes to an extreme example, right? To just show you how much he's focused on us. So David says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? And God says, no. In fact, God is much more close than David realizes in verse 1. How long will you hide your face from me? In fact, though God may seem distant, it doesn't mean that God is not moving. Pastor West said it last week, God is working even in our waiting. And David, I think, is starting to begin to realize that. Verse 2, he continues in his questioning and petitioning. He says, how long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? David's saying, no, I wake up and my heart is flooded with sorrow. It lasts all day long. He says, how long must I take counsel in my soul? And I think that's an important verse for us to just double-click on because I think we can relate to that verse as well. I like how the NIV translation translates verse 2. Let's look at this on the screen. The NIV says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? My conclusion is the more David wrestles in his mind, the more he takes counsel from his soul, the more sorrow is going to be in his heart. Can I just tell you, a bad counselor for the struggle you're walking through is not yourself. David says, how long should I take counsel in my soul? Can I tell you, your soul that's partially broken should not be the thing that's counseling your soul. I've heard people put it like this. They just describe that as being in your head. Anybody ever just get in your head? And you're just in your head and you can even get exhausted by thinking, and you get in your head. I read this quote by a guy by the name of Colin Henderson, who writes exhaustively on mind coaching and training and the brain and thinking. Colin Henderson says it like this: when you're in your head, you're dead. Just making it plain. When you get in your head and you start wrestling with your thoughts and all of a sudden your mind is consumed, David says, how long must I wrestle and take sorrow in my soul? When you're in your head, you're dead. In fact, research shows that most people, when it comes to mindset coaching and training, listen to this, church, most people are oftentimes only 10% present, which makes me concerned about this actual moment right here. Think about this. Research shows that most people live 40% in the past. So 40% of the time we're thinking about what was. What should I have said? That person hurt me. I could have done it differently. Dang, I wish I would have hit that shot. Man, I didn't like what that person did. I wish I would have delivered the message differently. And we think about what was, that past relationship, that past hurt, that you're living somewhere in the past. With the other 40% of our mindset, we live 40% in the future. What could be? If I do this, well, this could lead to that. And maybe one day I'll have this house, and one day I'll have this car, and one day I'll make this team, and one day I'll have this spouse, and one day I'll do this. And guess what? If you add both those up, you're actually only 10% here right now. And can I just tell you, you got to surrender what was, trust God with that, amen? And at the same time, surrender and trust God with what will be. And in doing so, you know what you'll be able to do? You'll be able to be here right now. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, amen? In fact, I can't promise you you'll even get to the what will be. And I can't promise you that you can go back and change anything that what was. But you can start today, amen? Today's a great day to have a great day. To start right now. And so David is wrestling in his thinking, in his mind, and he's all caught up in his thought life. And I think it's an important moment for me to just right now remind you the value of the Word of God. I cannot tell you how much this book has changed my life. And not just my actions, but my thinking. In fact, this past week, I had a moment where I got in my head and I got frustrated about a certain thing and I was dwelling on it for the moment. And you know what? That was a good trigger moment for me to go back to the scriptures I've memorized. And I've been working on Romans chapter 8 for 2024. And so I just began to just, my mind is consumed with sorrow or with wrestling or with past or with future. And I just stopped and I said, you know, therefore there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who set their mind on the flesh is death, but those who set their mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Right? That's Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Let me put it back up here. Just verse 6. That was 1 through 6, but I love verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit. Can I just tell you, I forgot whatever was bothering me just by reminding myself of God's Word. And so you get God's Word into your heart, you get God's Word into your mind, and it brings about life and peace. This is the only living and active Word that comes down from above. Let me just challenge you, Walk Church. What if you make the second half of 2024 your absolute best year of your entire life in the Bible? Come on, just eliminate the excuse. Don't allow the excuses to win in your life anymore. In fact, this morning, I was getting ready for church. I had a few things that I was getting ready to do before we got here. And you know what? I just felt the Holy Spirit prompt me and say, hey, before you go any further, make sure you get your Proverbs 28 in. And sometimes, listen to me, sometimes I'll be like, later. And you know, later rarely happens. The enemy will make sure of it. And so I want to just pause before I open any notifications, before I get into any other activity. I need a word from the Word. So I open up to Proverbs chapter 28. And I begin reading through this chapter, and a verse stuck right out to me. Let me put it up here on the screen. In fact, let's read it off the screen. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. Whoa! Like a WWE elbow drop from Proverbs right here. And I think this is for David here in Psalm 13. Stop trusting in your own mind. Get out of your head. Get out of your own mindset and feelings. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Our minds are oftentimes contaminated, amen? Contaminated by social media, contaminated by news, contaminated by the lust of the flesh, contaminated by our past and our fear and our struggles. We need the Word. Charles Spurgeon once said it like this. He said, the Bible memorized is better than the Bible in the bookcase. Come on. Amen? Right? Get that Bible in the memory. Get in the Word until it gets in you. Now listen, here's what I'm not trying to do. I'm not trying to come over here and just smack you upside the head with the Bible, because that doesn't work. That doesn't make anybody... Here's what that does. You start reading for tallies. You start reading for, okay, God, I did that. And you don't get nothing from it. Why should you read? I think because it'll help you. I think your soul will be more glad. I think because you'll be able to get through the traps that oftentimes exist in our minds that hold us back and create sorrow in our hearts all day long. We need a renewed mind, amen? Amen. A daily renewal, a daily word from the Word. It's called self-talk in a way. Talk to yourself. I think that's what David's doing here. He's praying, he's talking to himself. Talk back to yourself the Word and watch how that works marvelously in your life. Let's finish up this psalm. He goes and he says, consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Verse 3, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I've prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken. Says God, I love how David, he started here. How long will you forget me forever? I have sorrow all the day. My soul is wrestling. And then he steps here and he says, consider me, O Lord, I pray. He moved into a prayer posture. Lest my enemies be exalted over me. And then he takes one more step. And in 1/6 verse psalm, he gets all the way to this other side of the trajectory to verse 5. And he says, But I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. You know what? I feel like singing. Hallelujah. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. The word bountifully just means his goodness has been overflowing. How did David go from sadness and sorrow to singing to the Savior? Went from pain to praise. I think what I'm trying to help us see is don't just get... Aren't you glad that David hasn't taken this response? Prevailed over, lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaking sorrow in my heart all the days. So I'm mad at God and I'm leaving church. And I don't want anything to do with this book. Yeah, you guys ever met people that have that posture? I have. And they stop before they get to verses 5 and 6. Come on, don't give up on verse 4. Keep going. God has more that he wants to do. And so here's my conclusion that I want to encourage you with. Just three things to have a high view of. David has a high view of these three things. First off, verse 5, I've trusted in your steadfast love. Have a high view of God's love. Walk, church, hear me. Don't have a low view of the love of God for you. Like on your darkest day, when nobody texts you back and you don't get invited to the hangout and the person breaks up with you that you was your big crush or whatever your situation is, can I just tell you, God did not stop loving you. Come on, Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Let's read this together. Ready, set, go. For I am sure that neither... Hold on a second. I only hear a few people reading. I really want you to do it with me because I want you to speak it over yourself, okay? Ready? Let's try it. Set, go. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? I love that right there. I needed that. Notice what Paul the Apostle is writing to the Romans. He's saying, look, even death can't separate you from his love. While you're in this life, can't separate you from his love. And if an angel comes down from heaven and says, God doesn't love you, curse that angel back to hell. Come on. No ruler can separate you from his love. Listen, nor things present. Right? He says, hey, the things that you're walking through today can't separate you from his love. What about the things that are going to happen later? He says, don't worry about that. That can't separate you from his love either. What about the powers and the height and the depth? Anything else? Nothing else. Have a high view of God's love for you. How much does he love you? Well, enough to die for you. Enough to leave heaven and to become a baby and to grow up in Nazareth, to pay for all of our sins on the cross. Whose cross was that? That was my cross. It's your cross. So at the bare minimum today, you're loved by who? By God. The only person that I can guarantee is going to love you always to the end, even to eternity. It's him. Have a high view of God's love, but not just a high view of God's love. Verse 5 and 6 go on to teach us that he didn't just trust in the love of the Father. But he says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. David, he prays in a different psalm. He says, God, restore to me the joy of your salvation, right? He says, I have a high view of God's saving grace. Friend, it's not just that God loves you. It's that God saved you. Are you still amazed that you're saved? Are you still in awe of the grace of God over your life? Does it still sometimes make you want to just tear up or lift your hands or just say, man, God, why me, right? I mean, let's not get prideful about salvation. Let's be humbled by the fact that God would save any of us because he loves us. David said, well, wait, soul. He's doing self-talk. He's saying, wait, I've trusted in his love. I'm rejoicing that I'm saved, which leads to the third and final point. I'm going to sing. I will sing to the Lord because it, all in all, he's been so good to me. Right? I love how the NLT version says it. Let's look at the NLT verses 5 and 6. We'll put it up here on the screen before we do this, before we respond. David says, I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you've rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he has been good to me. Have a high view of God's love. Have a high view of God's saving. Have a high view of God's goodness. If you coach your mind to focus on those three, if you focus on all your problems, it'll compete with these three. Let these three pin those. You know, you can pin something to the top before anything negative goes to my mind. God's love, God's saving grace, God's goodness. Then you'll be able to live bountifully. And less things will hurt you because you're so secure in these three, amen? And that's my prayer for each and every one of us here today. I even just take a moment. I want to honor my sister, Sierra. She's right here in the front. Grateful for you, C. We had a powerful time at a beautiful memorial that Sierra led this past week for her son, Nova, who passed away tragically a few years ago. And Sierra, the thing that you said that moved me so much is you said, I don't want you guys to just be here and celebrate my son's life. I want you to celebrate who I've become in Christ. I was like, what was that? And she just began to preach the gospel and share about all that Jesus has done. And she said, and I know I'll see my son again. And it was such a powerful memorial that you set up. But I couldn't, you can so easily live here. How long, oh Lord? Rose, how long, oh Lord? I want to see my husband again. How long, oh Lord? Will you forget me forever? Will you hide your face from me? And I just want to encourage you, don't stop too soon. God in his love doesn't fail. Eddie, don't forget these verses when you go in, brother. He goes before you. High view of God's love. High view of his saving grace. Come on. A high view of his goodness, even in our struggle. Sometimes the sweetness of God's goodness is best experienced in the struggle. Amen. And so my encouragement to you is to go there today. David doesn't say, I might sing. He says, I will. And if you're not a good singer, then stand by me so we can be bad singers together. You know, I was reading this psalm over and over again this week, 6 verses. And one day I asked Vashon, I said, Vashon, can I get a few minutes? I asked Pastor Mark, I said, hey, can I just get a few minutes? I said, man, I think this psalm is a song. And these are how I see some of the lyrics flowing, but could you guys take it and actually make it into music? And I was blessed to hear that we're gonna try out this song today. And our worship team's gonna lead us in it for the first time, bringing it out. And so I'm gonna pray and then let's go ahead and let's live out verse 6. Let's sing to the Lord. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And right now I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that there's many people here in the room today that can relate to the lyrics of this psalm. God, would you comfort those who are grieving? Would you comfort those who have had a hard season? Would you empower those with your love that just feel like they're going through a storm? Maybe they're going into a storm. Maybe they're coming out of a storm. Jesus, we come to you today. You're our hope. If there's anybody here today that doesn't know Christ, the invitation is here for you now. Respond to God's love with faith. Call upon his name. You can pray just right now like this. Just say, Lord, thank you for saving me. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you defeated sin and hell and Satan. And today I put my faith and trust and hope in you, Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all my past. I'm ready to follow you now for all my days. I turn away from sins. Help my mind, help my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.